It's 10 a.m. I want to welcome everybody to the Florida Building Commission's Fire Technical Advisory Committee meeting of October 6, 2021. The first order is to review our teleconference participation process. Basically, keep your phones on mute. I mean, your devices on mute. Do not put any phones on hold. Please state your name each time you speak, and please be aware of background noises, and please wait until you're called upon to speak so that we can orderly do this in a virtual setting. All right, let's ensure that we have a quorum before we do anything. Commissioner Schiffer, Brad?
I'm on.
Great. Hamid Bahadori? All right. Joe Belcher?
Here.
Cheryl Edwards? Elijah Flowers?
Here.
Thank you. Shane Gerwig? Commissioner Gross? Joe Holland? Commissioner Marker? Peter Schwab? Well, we're very much shy of a quorum. We have 3 of 10 members. We're missing Hamid, Cheryl, Shane, Jeff, Joe, Gray, and Peter.
I'm Joe. I'll most see Jeff.
Okay. Yep. Well, we'll see about getting some contact. Is Robert Bimbo on the phone? No. Okay.
I think some may have thought since all the changes were done, they didn't realize there were dictators. I don't know.
Yeah, hopefully Robert sent something to folks so that they, whoever we have tomorrow, we have structural special occupancy and roofing. Might be useful to send all of them a reminder and let them know that they have deck states, yeah, just in case they're confused too.
We did send them a reminder.
Okay.
No good problem. Just, I think they got tired.
Well.
Let me see.
Tom and Justin, legal question. Just curious, in terms of if we didn't have a quorum, would the commission just hear the deck statements at the meeting?
This is Justin Vogel. I think that the tax, they're supposed to hear the deck statement. I'd have to check the rule.
Yeah, I think that's right. What does that mean then?
I mean, hopefully we'll get a quorum in a few minutes.
Right. I'm just curious, you know, what the...
I guess I'd have to look at it and sort of see whether I felt... whether it was more important to hit the 90 days that the commission is required to issue the deck statement. I think that is coming out of Florida statute, and I'd have to see if the attack requirement to hear the deck statement, which I think is a requirement somewhere, I'd have to see if that's in statute or rule, then maybe weigh that.
Okay, thanks. All right, well, I see that we have one additional member. I'll just do a roll call again, just in case. I'll call in those that I didn't call on. Hamid, Cheryl, Shane. Shane's on, right, Shane?
Here. I'm here.
Thank you. Commissioner Gross, Joe Holland, Commissioner Marker, or Pete Schwab. So we have 4. We need 2 more, and then we'll have a quorum. So online is Brad, Joe, Elijah, and Shane. Yeah, okay. joined the call, please?
Peter Schwab.
Caller number three is Peter Schwab. All right. So, looks like we need one more member to make a quorum. So we've got Commissioner Schiffer, Joe Belcher, Elijah Flowers, Shane Gerwig, and Peter Schwab. Are there any other TAC members on the call? All right, so there's Hamid.
I would just like, this is Schwab. I would just like to apologize for being late. I thought we were not having the meeting because I thought we finished in England.
Right. This is from some deck-to-deck statements. Okay. We're looking for Hamid, Cheryl, Jeff Gross, Joe Holland, or Commissioner Marker. Again, everybody, we're waiting for one additional member so we can get started to make our quorum of six.
Jeff, this is Justin Vogel. Hopefully we'll get our sixth member, but just for your and the tax information, the requirement for the commission to issue a declaratory statement within 90 days does come straight out of Chapter 120 of Florida statutes. The provision about the tax hearing, the declaratory statement, comes out of commission rule, and it's kind of more just what part of a description of the general purpose of the tax. So in the event we're not able to get a quorum today, then I think we would just send these staff analyses directly to the commission for action.
Great. Thanks, Justin. I vaguely recall that from the past as well, that, you know, I knew the statute was like, as you described, on the 90 days. We used to do two hearings of deck statements at the commission, and then they adjusted it so that it was 90 days, and so they got one. Just join by phone, please.
Marlita.
Oh, okay. Caller four, there you go. All right, well, we're still waiting for one member.
I just talked to Commissioner Gross. He should be calling in a few minutes.
Great, thanks, Tom. Just joined by phone, please identify yourself.
This is Jeff Gross.
Great. Caller number five is Jeff. Thank you, Jeff. Tom, should I, or Justin, should I redo the roll call just to sort of establish it?
I think it seems like we know who's on. If you can just roll through who's on and confirm it, we've been keeping track.
Okay. We have Commissioner Schiffer, Joe Belcher, Elijah Flowers, Shane Gerwig, Commissioner Gross, and Peter Schwab. That would give us six of our 10 members. That would constitute a quorum. Very good. Thank you, folks, for signing on so we can get going. All right. We have, I'm just going to look at the screen. We have Jim Hammers, Tom Campbell, Sabrina Evans, Mona Donny, Justin Fogle, Robert Benbow, and Marlita Peters, representing DBPR. All right, Commissioner Schiffer, if you'd like to approve the agenda in the minutes, and then if you turn it to me to kind of set up the deck statement, that would be great.
Okay. Yes, Mrs. Commissioner Schiffer, approve the agenda and also turn this over to you, Jeff.
That's your second.
Okay, so Brad, there's a motion and a second to approve the agenda as posted. All right. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. It's unanimous. You received electronically or have seen electronically linked to the agenda, the September 29th, 2021 meeting minutes. Are there any corrections, revisions? If not, a motion to accept as posted, please.
Belcher, move approval.
Schwab, second.
Motion and second for approval. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? It's unanimous. All right. Well, next we have two deck statements, and we'll start with DS 2020-041 by Brian Ray of OFK Ocala LLC, and we'll ask the petitioner if they have any additional information they'd like to submit. We'll take public comment. We'll turn to staff for analysis, and then to the TAC for your decision on that. Is the petitioner in the meeting and wish to make any additional comments? All right. Is there any public comment on this? All right. Petitioner has not made any comments, and there's no public comment, so we'll go for staff's analysis now. Mo? Mo, you're muted, just so you, in case you didn't know.
All right, okay.
I've done 2020-41-44.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, sorry, what'd you say? Yes, again. What'd you say, Justin? Maybe he wasn't talking to us. Well, go ahead, Bob.
Okay, the issue is DS 2020-041. The petitioner mainly is seeking a declaratory statements on whether the project in question is qualified for design and construction according to the 2020 Florida Building Code Residential. The petitioner mainly seeks clarification of the following questions. There's three questions. Question one, would the project in question be eligible for design and construction according to the 2020 Florida Building Code Residential? For the project question, does the 2020 Florida Building Code Residential require fire sprinklers for townhouse dwellings? And question number three, is section 903.2.11.3 or section 903.11.3.1 of the 2020 Florida Building Code building applicable to the project question? The petitioner gave us a background information about the project. This is the project consists of a 12 attached single family dwelling, all three story in height, and the project meet the definition of townhomes and the requirements for fire separation as stated in section R302.2. I gave you some reference to specific section within the code, especially the residential section R01.1 1.2, which provides the scope of the residential code, which includes townhomes. That is really townhomes that three stories or less, and with the specific requirements. It also gave you the definition of the townhouse. Section R313 of the Florida Residential Code, automatic fire sprinkler system, which is reserved, and this section was reserved because of the fact Florida statute prohibits the commission from establishing sprinklers requirement for those buildings that fall within the scope of the residential code, and also given you section 101.2, the scope of the Florida Building Code building, which mainly provide an exception with regard to the use of the residential code. And also I gave you some reference to those two sections that's being asked about, which is section 903.2.11.3 and 903.2.11.3.1, which really talks about building that the three-story or more in height that's required to be sprinklered. Based on all this, the staff analysis, as you see, there is two options. Option one is the petitioner's, for the question one and two and three, his answer is that it is the petitioner's belief that the townhouse project in question should be eligible to be designed and constructed per the 2020 Florida Building Code Residential based on the petitioner's understanding of the 2020 Florida Building Code Residential. The petitioner does not believe fire sprinklers are required for three-story townhouse. The petitioner also does not believe requirements from other codes, including the 2020 Florida Building Code, are applicable, given that the petitioner does not believe section 903.2.11.3 or section 903.2.11.3.1 of the 2020 Florida Building Code are applicable or enforceable to the project in question. The petitioner believed that his task is to design and construct his project exclusively per the 2020 Florida Building Code Residential. With regard to option two, the staff, again, I will repeat the questions and then I'll provide the answer to them. Question number one, would the project in question be eligible for design and construction according to the 2020 Florida Building Code Residential? Answer, the answer to the petitioner, the question is yes, as per section R101.2 scope and definition of the term townhouse of chapter 2, definition of the 7th edition 2020 for the building code residential, the project in question falls within the scope of the 7th edition 2020 for the building code residential. Question number two, for the project in question, does 2020 Florida Building Code Residential require fire sprinklers for townhouse dwellings? Answer, the answer to the petitioner question is no, as per section R313, automatic fire sprinkler system of the 7th edition 2020 Florida Building Code Residential, which marks reserved, fire sprinklers are not required for the project question. Question number three, is section 903.2.11.3 or section 903.2.11.3.1 of the 2020 Florida Building Code building applicable to the project in question? Answer, the answer to the petitioner's question is no. As per section 102.1 scope exception 1, of the 7th edition 2020 Florida Building Code building, compliance with the 7th edition 2020 Florida Building Code residential is a standalone compliance option to that of the 7th edition 2024 the building code building. Therefore, section 903.2.11.3 and 903.11.3.1 of the 7th edition 2024 the building code building do not apply to the project question. Thank you. Any question about the staff analysis?
Go ahead.
Hello?
Yeah, we got it. Go ahead, Jeff.
Joe Belcher, I wanted to point out to the TAC that there is a informal interpretation from the Florida Division of State Fire Marshal, the Florida Fire Marshal and Inspectors Association. It is dated July 17, 2012. It's on the 2009 edition of NFP 101. It asked the question, are townhouses required to be sprinklered? And it answers no. That is section 5.1. And those provisions have not changed in the code. And I'd like to make a motion to accept the staff options or analysis on all three questions.
Second, Shane Gerwick.
We have a motion and a second for option two, staff's analysis for questions one through three. Is there any discussion on the motion?
Yes.
Yes, Schwab.
Yeah.
Okay, Brad. Brad, you go ahead first, then we'll get Pete. Go ahead, Brad.
Okay, and I guess it's a question to staff. There's a lot of definitions of townhouse floating around, but in the architectural statutes, they do have a definition for townhouse. And it's pretty close to all these other, except it does emphasize the fact that there has to be a property line separating the unit. So my question is, I guess, how much does that definition weigh into this?
When we go with the definitions, we go with the definition as is stated in the Florida Residential Code. And in the staff analysis, I have given the definition which says a single family dwelling unit not exceeding three story in height, constructing a group of two or more attached unit with a property line separating such units, in which each unit extends from foundation to roof and with a yard or public way on not less than two sides. So that's really what we're using as a mean to what's in the residential code.
All right.
Hey, sorry. Pete, you're next. I'm going to speak against it. My concern here is, okay, so yeah, I agree that townhomes aren't required to be protected, but in this case, they've stacked seven next to each other. So at what point am I allowed to ignore the amount of area that those seven townhomes, and let's just say it's 14 or 21 stacked next to each other, not practical, but could happen. So we're not protecting any of that. So I'll speak against the motion.
Any other discussion? Then all in favor of the motion, say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed, say aye.
Aye.
The vote is 5-1, so it passes. Okay, let's move on to our next one, which is DS 2021-044 by Rosalind Chancey. Is there anybody, is the petitioner here, and wish to add any additional information to their submittal? All right, is there any public comment? Very good, then Mo will go to you for a staff analysis.
I think this is Justin. Justin's what's speaking.
Wait, sorry. Go ahead, Justin.
No problem. Good morning, TAG members. This is DS-2021-44 by Rosalind J. Chancey. Petitioner states that the City of Kissimmee has adopted a local ordinance which prohibits sleeping in a kitchen and that the City has enforced this ordinance against her, resulting in the removal of beds from the room that the City determined to be a kitchen. Petitioner maintains that only half of the room is used for the preparation of food and wishes to know if the entire room should be considered a kitchen. She states that her interests will be substantially affected if the local ordinance continues to be enforced against her, since fewer tenants will be able to occupy her rental property. Rule 28-105.001 emphasizes that a declaratory statement is a means for resolving a controversy over the applicability of statutory provisions, rules, or orders over which the agency has authority. In this case, the agency being the Florida Building Commission. Also, Florida courts have stated that petitions for declaratory statement have to be prospective in nature, and that approving or disapproving conduct which has already occurred should not be the intent of issuing a declaratory statement. And in this case, petitioner's query involves an already completed kitchen and structure. There's nothing prospective about it that I've seen. There's no work being done which would implicate the Florida Building Commission or the Florida Building Code over which it has jurisdiction. Furthermore, the petitioner's actual interest is in how the city of Kissimmee defines and interprets the term kitchen through its own local ordinance, on how that term may be defined within the code. And accordingly, I recommend that this petition be denied, since the commission has no jurisdiction to interpret this local ordinance, and the petition addresses past conduct.
Thank you, Justin. All right, TAC members, you've heard our legal counselor's advice and recommendation. What's your pleasure?
Belcher with comment as for. I actually have a question for Justin.
Go ahead. Sure.
Yeah, Justin, the legislature passed a measure last year which would allow for somebody to request a substantially affected party to request a advisory opinion from the commission on whether it's a local ordinance or land development, something change to the code. Would this, I'm just curious, would this type of question be something that might be covered by that? And you probably need to look at the law first.
Well, I kind of doubt it. That statutory provision, which we're still in the rulemaking process to implement, will allow the commission to, you know, issue a non-binding advisory opinion about whether that local ordinance represents a technical amendment to the code. I'm not even sure that this would really be on the line of any kind of technical amendment. It seems to be a use issue. And I don't know if Mo has any other thoughts about that, but it doesn't seem like it would really be in the same ballpark to me.
Thank you. As I was asking that question, that exact thought was going through the back of my mind. It's not really a technical issue. Belcher has moved to accept the staff recommendation to deny this request of having no authority.
Shane Gerwick, second.
And a motion and a second concur with staff's recommendation that the petition should be denied since the commission has no jurisdiction to interpret local ordinance. Is there any discussion? All right. Some background. All in favor of the denial, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? That's unanimous as well. Is there any other public comment or member comment? Brad, if you think you're, go ahead and adjourn us.
And we are adjourned. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, everybody.